one. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the first hymn in our hymn sheet. It's 215 in our own hymn book. It's a great hymn of testimony. The hymn writer says, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." We'll just keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Thank you. Minister to our needs and bless our gathering this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight and through that precious and all-prevailing and worthy name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight for that place called Calvary, where Christ suffered and bled and died and gave up the ghost and poured out his soul even unto death. Thy word tells us even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank thee that there upon that cross he bore upon himself the wrath of God that was our due. We thank thee, O God, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Father, we praise and we thank thee, O God, that with his stripes we are healed. And Father, we thank thee, O God, for the power of the blood of Christ, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank that Christ rose again victorious, that he is alive forevermore, that he defeated death and sin and hell, and We thank thee, O God, that the grave could not hold Christ. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. We thank thee, O God, that thy word declares that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And Father, we thank thee tonight that Christ is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory. And we thank thee that there is as our great high priest, he ever lives to intercede for the people of God. And we thank thee, O God, tonight that we are accepted through Christ the Redeemer, the Son of God. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that when we know and trust Christ as Savior, we can rejoice that our sins have all been forgiven, blotted out, cast into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never, O God, to be remembered against us anymore. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the great hope we have of life eternal, secured by the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, O God, for the unfailing riches of thy grace. How thou hast said that my grace is sufficient for thee. We thank thee, O God, tonight as thy people for grace that saves and grace that keeps. And, O God, we thank thee for all thy mercies to us throughout this thy day. We thank thee for thy presence with us in thy house this morning and for the blessing of the Lord's day, this day of rest, this day of worship, this day when we can gather with thy people around the word of God and, Lord, set aside the things of time and sense, as it were, for a season. And, Father, we pray that thou would bless our coming together even again tonight. O God, we do need thee. The Lord, we think of John of old, how he could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And, Lord, we pray that that might be our portion here tonight. Lord, be pleased to tabernacle amongst us, we pray. Draw very near, O God, we pray. Outpour thy Holy Spirit, O God, upon us. Grant us a real sense of the presence of God. We pray, Father, for the hush of God, the hush of eternity, Lord, to be upon our meeting tonight. And, Father, we pray, O God, that thou wilt bless all who have been able to come. We thank thee for every home and family represented, O God. And we pray that thou wilt bless every believer, every child of God in this meeting house tonight. Encourage and strengthen the saints of God. For any, Lord, who might be cold at heart, give that restoring grace. And others maybe perhaps needing a word of counsel or guidance, be thou their guide. Teach them and show them that way that thou wilt have them to go. But, Lord, for any with us tonight, old or young, still not saved, on that broad road to a lost eternity, speak to them tonight, Lord. And, Father, we pray that by thy Spirit, by thy power and by thy grace, that they might come to that place of repentance toward God and to that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Grant, Lord, that even tonight some soul or souls might look to Christ, look to him for salvation and find life eternal and life evermore. O God, we think of those that cannot be with us tonight, those who because of age or sickness or infirmity, the Lord cannot come to the house of God. Bless them and minister to them. Others that may be isolating and shielding at this time, watch over them and bless them and protect them as well. For others who mourn and grieve tonight, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts. We pray very especially, Lord, for the Edwards family. Give comfort there, we pray. Lord, we think of Ian and Wendy. We think of Esther and Keith and their families, we ask. And we pray that thou wilt give them comfort, grace, and strength, not only tonight, but in the days that lie ahead and that entire family circle. O God, we do pray. And Father, we do pray, O God, this night that thou would bless our land. Remember every faithful servant of God. Wherever thy word is faithfully preached, we pray that the blessing of God would be upon it, that thou would visit our province, O God, tonight in grace. Remember every special effort on at this time. We think of gospel missions and meetings on, Lord. We just pray, O Lord, that in wrath that thou wilt remember mercy and that thou wilt turn the hearts of many unto yourself. And that, Lord, this night there'll be great rejoicing in the courts of heaven over sinners coming to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Lord, bless us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Give us a real sense of the presence of God. Glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done tonight. Hide man far behind the cross. Let the word of the Lord have free course, even in our midst, O God, this night. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of John, to John's Gospel, and to the chapter number 6, the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we're reading just from the verse number 22 of that chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 37. Reading tonight from John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning a reading at verse 22 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 37. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse number 22. It says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 37. And our prayer is that the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome each and every one in the Lord's great name to our meeting tonight. Good to see so many gathered with us here this Lord's Day evening. And we bid you a very special welcome. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged and blessed afresh in the Lord your Savior. But if you're here with us tonight and you're not saved, oh, that tonight you'd come to Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good. We welcome also those that are viewing online, and we pray the Lord will bless you also around God's Word this evening, and you will know the Lord meeting you at the very point of your need. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is Building Fund Offering? Do you remember that offering? Give as the Lord would have you give to that offering. Tomorrow night, that's Monday the 6th of September, 8 o'clock in Aroma Church, there's a special prayer meeting for the work of Consider Christ Outreach. It's an open prayer meeting. All are welcome. The Reverend Colin Mercer there is the speaker. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock here in our own church, their midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And it will be the box opening for the work of Bethel Crusade. And our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, will be giving a report and an update on the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. So do remember that. Do come along. You'll be encouraged, no doubt, as you hear of what the Lord has been doing through the children's meetings, even over the summer season. So remember that, please. Friday night, 8 o'clock, in our Martyrs Memorial Church. There's a youth rally organized by the youth council of our denomination that's open to all young people. And we certainly would encourage the older members of our youth fellowship to go along and to attend that if they can at all possible by car on Friday evening. There'll be different ones taking part, mission reports and the preaching of God's Word. Pray that it'll be a good night of fellowship around the Word of God. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., is the return of our monthly open-air witness at the Diamond with myself and our brother Colin. So do remember that. Pray for it. Indeed, if you're in the town on Saturday morning, do come along and join with us there in the open air. It's just for half an hour from 11 a.m. through to 11:30. Next Lord's Day, the 12th of September, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7, and I belong to bring God's Word. Friday night, the 17th of September, here at 8 p.m., we'll see the recommencement of our own youth fellowship meetings. That's open to all young people from P7 and upwards. All young people are welcome to attend. Also, God willing, next Monday, the 13th of September, 2 o'clock, we hope to recommence the door-to-door outreach, giving out the gospel literature around the area. Pray for that. If you can join with us that hour and a half or so, we'll be glad to see you. The offering for the work of Every Home Crusade last week came to £1,300, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Also, this Friday night, that's the 10th of September, is the installation service for the Reverend Nelson as the new minister to our Tyndale Church. That meeting has been hosted in Newton Abbey congregation. It is by invite only, but you can view the service online through the Tyndale Facebook page. Also, I do remember the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings as they recommence next week. That's Tuesday night, the 14th of September in Tresna, Wednesday, the 15th of September in Lisbalaw, Thursday, the 16th of September, Maguire's Bridge, and then Friday night, the 17th, here in Bethel. Pray much for these meetings. Pray for Gillian and all who help out in those meetings, that they know the help of God. Do make it known. There will be invites for those meetings. Then the table and the porch, do take those and give them out to children in the area around those meetings and encourage others to come in under the sound of God's Word. And then, as we mentioned this morning, there's also a need for church caretaker in the new year. That's 2022, as Kevin and Jennifer are retiring from this work that they've faithfully done for many years. So if anyone has an interest in doing this work, feels led to do that, do remember that, pray about it. And if you feel that interest, then certainly contact our clerk of session, Mr. Ian Moore, in the near future. That would be appreciated, please. Do please also pray for Ian and Wendy Edwards and family, and Hester and Keith Dara and family. Ian and Hester's father, Bobby, went home to be with the Lord this afternoon. So do remember that family in your prayers, that they'll know the Lord's grace and the Lord's comfort at this time of need and time of great loss to them as a family. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again to our second hymn, just in our order of service tonight. It's 245. It's a great gospel hymn. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you would heed the message of this hymn. It says, there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed on the tree. We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please.
Thank you.
And may the Lord bless those great words of truth to our hearts this evening. Perhaps at this part of our meeting, we can maybe just stand to our feet just for a short word of prayer, just to change our position before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence here tonight already. We thank Thee for Your Word. We thank Thee for these great gospel hymns that we've been singing. And we thank Thee for the great message of the gospel tonight, that there's life for a look at the crucified one. We thank Thee for all those in the gathering who have looked by faith to Christ for salvation, who can rejoice tonight in Christ being their righteousness and their hope for eternity. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight not saved, who have never looked by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner, we pray, Lord, that even tonight by Thy Spirit and power and grace, that they will look to Christ for life eternal, that they will look away from self and from sin and every false refuge of man, and that they will look to Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. Give help now in the preaching of Thy Word. Give right words, give clarity of mind, plainness, simplicity of speech. Give liberty in the preaching of Your Word. Let nothing be said, O God, that is not of Thee. Let the words of man fall to the ground. But Lord, let the Word of the Lord prevail in hearts tonight. Pour out Thy Spirit, Lord, upon preacher, upon congregation alike. Bless and encourage the saints of God. Save the lost and glorify the Savior in His wonderful name. We pray all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 27 of John's Gospel, chapter number 6. We'll turn again to that passage that we read earlier, John chapter 6. And our text for this evening is the words of verse number 27 of John chapter 6. Here the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is speaking. And He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Now, John chapter 6 is a chapter that records for us two of the miracles of Christ. One of those was the feeding of the 5,000. And the other miracle was that of Christ walking upon the Sea of Galilee. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle that caused a great stir among the people. Indeed, after it, there were many, and they wanted to make Christ king, and many also sought after Him. Look at verse number 24, the latter part of the chapter there. It says, "They also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." And here you see these people, they made the effort. They took a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum seeking after Jesus. And there's always a blessing for those that make an effort and seeking after Christ and seeking after the things of God. And this was the case with the people to whom the Lord speaks and addresses in our text this evening. When He says in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." And here the Lord is speaking now in the synagogue at Capernaum. And He's speaking in particular to those who had witnessed Him feeding the 5,000 in that great miracle. Look at verse 25, verse 26 of the chapter. Notice what it says about such. It says, "And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when comest Thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And here we see from what Christ says to them there in those verses, these people, they were not following Christ for any spiritual reason or for any spiritual concern. Rather, it was for carnal reasons. It was because Christ Himself had previously met their physical need in the past. Now, it's worth to point out here, and it's very important that Christ here, He deals graciously with these people. Even though they were carnal in their desires after Christ at this time, it's interesting to note He does not turn them away, no. Nor does he judge them there and then. He does not do that. Rather, he speaks to them. He converses with them. He enters into conversation with them. And he shows to them very clearly that their spiritual needs, that their need of salvation from sin, their need of eternal life is something that is far more important than any physical need and any material need that they may have in this life. This he does in particular through the words of our text tonight in verse 27. When he says, "There labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now in these words there is wise counsel for every sinner. Yes, these words were applicable and needful to the people to whom Christ here is speaking to in the synagogue at Capernaum in his day. But these words still are equally important tonight and equally applicable tonight to every lost sinner before Almighty God. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you're still a lost sinner before Almighty God. Then these words in our text tonight are something that are vitally important for you to consider and to heed before Almighty God. For that reason, then, I want us to look at this verse before us here tonight. Verse 27, we could say here, "Here is wise counsel from Christ to every sinner." The first thing I want you to notice here is the rebuke of Christ, the rebuke of Christ. You see here that Christ warns his hearers that day about the vanity, the emptiness of earthly things. For he says there in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." And here he is telling these people that the things of this world are empty. He's telling these people that the things of this world will perish, they do not last. He is showing them here that the things of this world here are fleeting and transitory. By these people to whom Christ was speaking, they were carnal minded. They were taken up with the physical. They were taken up with material things. These were the things that had captivated them. And seeing this, Christ addresses them and he warns them not to make the things of this world their chief interest in life. Instead of living for things that do not last and things that do not satisfy, he says, and turn to them here in this verse 27, he says, "Labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Notice the contrast. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." What was Christ saying to these people here? He was saying to them, instead of living for material things and physical things, things that do not last and do not satisfy, he says they were to give priority in their life to spiritual things, priority in their life to the things of God. He was saying to them here they must seek after God's salvation. He was telling them here how they must seek after life eternal. He was saying to them, this is what matters in life. This is what counts in life, and not only for life, but for eternity. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasized the same point back in Matthew chapter 6, in the verse number 33, when he was speaking there to his own disciples. But he said to them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." There again, Christ was telling his own disciples, don't be taken up with the physical. Don't be taken up with the material things, the things that do not last, but rather seek God. Seek the things of Christ, the kingdom of God. The spiritual things are the things that really matter and count in life. This was Christ's counsel here to these people as he speaks to them in our text, and he says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Friend, how is it with you tonight in this gospel meeting? Let me ask you the question. What is your number one goal in life tonight? Ask yourself the question. What is my goal in life? What is my aim in life? What's your purpose in life? Is it material gain? Is it possessions? Is it wealth? Is it earthly treasure? Is it earthly popularity or the pleasures of this sin-crazy world? Well, listen tonight to what Christ says to you. He says in our text, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Men, women, young people in the meeting tonight, the Lord says, seek after the things of God. Seek after the kingdom of God. Seek after spiritual things. Don't be captivated with the physical and the material things of this life. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. He says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And there Solomon tells us how the things of this world that people amass and run after with all their heart and might are things that do not last. You see, the things of this world and its possessions that we have, dear people, will one day be taken away from every one of us in this meeting, and they'll be taken away from us, never to return to us again. The Bible says the things which are seen are temporal. The things of this life, the things of this world, they do not last. They are fleeting. They are temporal. They are transitory. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. It is folly. Folly to build your life around the things of this world. It's folly to set your whole life upon the things of this world while at the same time neglecting salvation, at the same time neglecting being sure of life eternal and of being right with God. It is folly. It's the folly of follies to grab all that the world can give you and amass what the world can afford you, and at the same time neglect God's so great salvation and life eternal. Turn with me your Bible back to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter number 12. And look at what Christ says here in the account of a certain rich man that he speaks of in the parable, Luke chapter 12 and the verses 16 through to 21. Look at what he says. In the account about this man, he says in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Christ speaks about this man, and you see there that God calls this man a fool. Why does God call him a fool? Why? Because he's only concerned about earthly things. He is only concerned about his possessions and the wealth and the treasures of this world. But he has no concern about his soul. No concern about his need to be saved from his sin and get right with God. Yes, he might be rich in the eyes of man, but as it says there from the words of Christ, he is not rich toward God. And he was lacking the most important thing of all, of being rich toward God in salvation. My whole store was upon the things of this world, things that are here today and that are gone tomorrow. Friend, is this a picture of you in our meeting tonight? Living only for this world, living only for what the world can give you, its wealth, its pleasures, its sin. If this is so, then I must say to you tonight, God's word has a message for you. And the message is this: God says in his word that you're a fool. You're on the pathway of folly. To just run after the things of this world and neglect your soul and your soul's salvation and the matter of being right with God. God says, thou fool,
You're on the pathway of folly. Folly that will bring shipwreck to your life and ruin to your life. A folly that will damn your soul in hell itself. For what does Christ say in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36? He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You may gain the world, but if you remain a sinner unsaved, you will lose your soul. Your soul will perish in hell's fire forever and ever. There'll be no escape. It has rightly been said, if you're wise, let the world pass you by, lest you pass away with the world. The people to whom Christ was addressing in our text tonight, they were taken up with the world. The things of time, the things of sense. Christ rebukes them. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting." Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. If you are to be wise, listen to these words of Christ. Heed these words of Christ to your own soul tonight. And he says to you in this gathering, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Yes, we see here the rebuke of Christ in these words. But notice, secondly, the response to Christ's words. What was the response that his words provoked? Well, you see that response in the following verse. The verse number 20, look at what it says. It says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Upon hearing of their need of eternal life, these people think that there's something that they themselves must do to inherit everlasting life. He says, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now, this really shows us something about these people. It shows that their thinking was deceived, that they were blinded by the devil and sin. You see, eternal life is a gift that God bestows in grace upon the sinner. It is a gift that no person can merit. It is a gift that no person can earn, no matter how good and respectable and honorable that person might be in society. Christ spoke to these people. He told them to labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And they say to him in response to what he said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They thought there was something that they could do or had to do to obtain this life eternal, this life everlasting. You know, these people here to whom Christ was speaking to, they were really ignorant of the fact that their own righteousness came far short of God's standard and God's holy law. For what does the Bible say about my righteousness and your righteousness and the righteousness of all men, naturally speaking, before God? The Bible says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Our own self-righteousness avail and count for nothing before Almighty God. And that is how it was with these people to whom Christ was addressing. They were Jews. They may have had a degree of respectability and religiosity about their life, but their self-righteousness counted for nothing before Almighty God. Also, these were a people who thought that they must do some personal deed, or by some personal deed they could receive eternal life. They say here to Christ, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What can we do? What do we have to do? And again, they were wrong in that thinking and that statement, because the Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, this was how it was with the Philippian jailer, and Paul and Silas addressed in the jail at Philippi, for he asked them the question, "What must I do to be saved?" He thought there was something he had to do himself to be saved and to be right with God. And you know, there are many like this all across the world. Indeed, prior to being saved, the Protestant reformer Martin Luther, who was then a Roman Catholic monk, thought there was something he had to personally do himself so that his sin could be dealt with and so that he himself could be made right with God. He thought he had to do something himself. Friend, in our meeting tonight, I ask the question, how is it with you? Are you like those on the day of Christ here who said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Is it in your heart and mind tonight that you must do something? Yourself, in and of self, to merit salvation? Is that your thinking tonight? I want to make it very clear to you this evening that there's nothing that you can do yourself that will merit salvation or make you right with God. Not one thing that you can do yourself that will bring to you God's salvation. The hymn writer says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. There the hymn writer was addressing the Lord, and they were confessing to this fact that there was nothing they themselves could do that could atone for their sin and save their soul and make them right with God. Sinner, in our meeting tonight, understand this truth. There's nothing you can do personally that will make you right with God or merit salvation for you. Why, there are many in our world tonight, and they would say, oh, to be saved and to be right with God, then you must be baptized. You must be catechized. You must take the Lord's Supper. You must be religious. You must join a church. You must read your Bible. You must say your prayers. Yes, there is a place for all those things in the life of the Christian, in the life of the person who is saved, but such things in themselves cannot bring you eternal life. They cannot bring you God's salvation. You think of the teaching of the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome tells her people to go to confession and confess their sins to a priest, to say the rosary, to attend the Mass, to pray to Mary, to pray to the saints and do penance, etc. Such things are not in the Bible. Such things contribute nothing to a person's salvation and a person's standing before the holy God of heaven. My, they're nothing more than the false teachings of sinful man. Friend, no amount of works done by yourself with all the best will and intention in the world can save your soul, make you right with God. That's the teaching of the Bible. Turn with me, please, over to Galatians chapter 2. Over to the middle of the New Testament, to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2, and the verse number 16. Look at what is said here. And here we have Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He makes it very clear that salvation is not in works, but it's by faith alone, in Christ alone. He says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. Notice this statement, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's a sweeping statement that applies to all mankind, be Jew, be Gentile, be black, be white, be Protestant, be Roman Catholic, whatever. What is justification? We mentioned that this morning around the Lord's table. It means forgiveness for all of our sins. That means acceptance before Almighty God. And here we see that these great blessings of salvation, they are not found in anything of self or of man, no. Rather, they are the exclusive right to all those and only those who trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and trust in Him alone for salvation. Oh, the people to whom Christ was addressing that day, they thought there was something they had to do themselves that would give them merit and favor with God. Friend, is that how it is with you tonight? Something you must do? Is that your thinking that will give you merit and favor with God? Oh, see tonight, the Word of God makes it very clear. All your works done with the very best will and intention in all the world cannot save your soul, cannot bring to you God's salvation. They cannot merit you with God's favor and make you right with God and make you inheritor. of God's salvation? No. We see, yes, the rebuke here of Christ. We see the response to his words. Notice, finally, notice the command of Christ. For look at what Christ goes on to say in the verse number 29 of this passage. Jesus answered and said unto them, he says, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." In grace, we see here that the Lord does not leave these people in their darkness and in their confusion. He is gracious to them. He is merciful to them. Rather, he tells them here how to be saved, how to be right with God, how to have eternal life. What was that way? They were to trust in him. Jesus Christ there, he says, whom God the Father has sent into this world to bring salvation to poor and needy sinners. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him, that is Jesus Christ, whom God the Father have sent. Notice again what Christ says in the latter part there of verse number 27, the words of our text. He says, labor, he says, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Notice these words, which the Son of Man shall give you. Who is the Son of Man but Christ? The Messiah, the sent one of God into this world to be the Savior of sinners. My believing on Christ as the only Savior from sin, this is the way for every sinner. Whoever he is, whoever she is, this is the way for the sinner to obtain life everlasting, life eternal, God's salvation, and be right with God. Think again of the message of Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer. What did they say to him? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Way for that jailer to be saved, the way for his house, his family, his loved ones to be saved. How was it? It was by believing on Christ and by trusting Christ, setting their faith upon Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. It was through those words that Martin Luther himself came to see his need of trusting Christ alone and resting on Christ alone for his salvation. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the gospel, yes, commands every sinner, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found, it commands every sinner to look by faith to Christ and to trust in Christ alone for salvation, as we were singing about earlier. And that great old gospel hymn. Friend, at our meeting tonight, unsaved, can I say this? This is what you must do. If you are to work the works of God, yes, you must recognize your need personally. As a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, that there's nothing that you can do in and of yourself that will merit salvation. And you must believe on Christ. You must trust in Christ alone for your salvation. This means you trusting, yes, in his sacrifice and blood shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins and to save your precious, never-dying soul. Look at what Christ says here in verse 48 of this chapter. He says, I am the bread of life. In other words, I'm the source of eternal life. By his blood shed at Calvary's cross, he purchased eternal life for sinners like you and like me in this meeting this evening. Let me make it very clear, there is no salvation apart from Christ. If you are to have salvation, eternal life, and be right with God, the Bible says you must be in Christ. Your faith must be resting in Christ alone for salvation. If you refuse Christ, you turn your back upon Christ as Savior, I tell you this, he cannot save you. And he will not save you. Look at what Christ says about those whom he saves in verse number 37 of this chapter. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." What's the mark of a person, whoever he is, whoever she is? The mark of their salvation is that they've come in faith and repentance unto Christ for salvation. If you turn away from Christ, there's no hope of salvation for you. There is no salvation for you. You cannot know anything of the blessings of salvation apart from knowing Christ and trusting Christ alone as your own and personal Savior. Look at the words of Christ there in verse 51 of this chapter. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And here he's speaking of the absolute necessity of faith in Christ and in a sacrifice alone for salvation. You look again at what Christ says himself at the end of our text. He says, "For him that is Jesus Christ hath God the Father sealed." In other words, there's no Savior apart from Christ. The only Savior that God has is Christ. The only way of salvation that God recognizes is through Christ. It says, "For him of God the Father sealed." This means that as our substitute Christ, he satisfied the justice of God. By his perfect life, he kept the precept of God's law for us. By his sacrifice, he paid in full the penalty of our sin to God. When he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," and shed his blood. Therefore, it's by trusting in Christ and in the sacrifice alone for salvation that you can know your sins forgiven, that you can have and inherit eternal life in a home in heaven. That's the work of God that you must do to have salvation. Come as a sinner, poor and needy as you are, to Christ. Come to him by faith and trust him for salvation. Look again at what Christ says in verse 53 and verse 54 of this chapter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eat of my flesh and drink of my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." There Christ is emphasizing the need of faith in him alone for salvation. And he talks there about eating, as it were, the flesh of the Son of Man, and looking to him, he's speaking there of faith in him, the necessity of faith and trust in him for salvation. Sinner, in our meeting tonight, Christ is the only one who can mediate between you and God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And my, when God sees the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart, he will pardon all your sins. He will save you from the judgment of hell. He will take you into heaven. He will take you into glory. Notice again those great words of Christ there at the end of verse number 37. What a statement. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." This applied to those people that day who were seeking after Christ for carnal reasons. Christ was merciful. He was gracious to them. He showed them the way to be saved. And those words applied to them as they came to Christ there and then as poor and needy sinners, confessing their need of Christ just as they were and looking to him by faith. His promise was that he wouldn't cast them out. Friend, that promise still stands tonight. For you in the meeting on sea in 2021, whoever you are, whatever your sin is or your sin has been, Christ will not cast you out. He'll not turn you away. If you come to him for salvation, that phrase there, "I will in no wise cast out," literally means in no account will the Lord Jesus Christ turn away a seeking sinner who comes to him for salvation. What a blessed assurance. What a promise that you can trust in and lean upon. You who are unsaved in the meeting tonight, come to Christ. Come to Him just as you are. Confess your sins to Him. Thank Him for dying for you upon the cross. And ask Him into your heart and life to be your Savior, to take away your sins. Our text says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. This is what it means for you to labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Friend, unsaved, man, woman, young person, don't go away tonight without the Lord. Come to Him, trust Him. Call upon Him for salvation. If I can be of any assistance to you after the meeting, I'd be glad to help you in any way. But no preacher can save you. It's only Christ. He's the one you need to come to. He's the one you need to look to. He's the one you need to trust in. No, don't go away tonight without trusting Christ. Coming to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. We'll close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here in this meeting house tonight. And for these words of Christ when He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Lord, we thank Thee for those in the gathering who have trusted Christ, who have came as poor and needy sinners to the Lord and trusted Him and can rejoice that He hasn't cast them out, that He will never cast them out. But for any in the meeting tonight unsaved, they've never yet come to Christ. Oh, may they come away from every false refuge and prop of self and of man. May they come tonight to rest upon Christ alone for salvation, He who is the bread of life. Give believing faith, Lord, and deciding grace to this end. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bless us on our onward journey. Keep your hand upon us, each one, throughout this week that lies before us. And grant that all in this gathering tonight, on that day of days when Christ will come, would be saved and safely gathered and answer prayer here in heaven, Thy dwelling place. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen.